Indira sponsored in memory of her father, Jagnarayan Singh. So thank you very much to them. Where's Monish? He always brings everybody. He brings all these different people. And so thank you very much. It's so auspicious to sponsor prasadam that we distribute to all the assembled devotees to honor an occasion or a loved one. We have the board, the Anadan board is almost empty for this year because it's a new year. So we encourage everyone to think of a day that they would like to sponsor the prasadam. Could be a birthday, it could be in memory of someone, and grab your day and call the temple office, see Sakshi Gopal, or just go on our online in our donate button, and you can do that too. We have prasadam for them. We'll give to Monish after. And we just want to ask all the devotees to give these people your blessings, give these nice families to Krishna and Ritu and Bhadra and Radhika, Monish, Satya and Shiva Subramanyam and Devani and Indira and Kaylee and Arthur and Bodhika Krishna. Please bless them that they always have the shelter at Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here's what's coming up. This Wednesday, the 14th, is Ekadasi Day. On Ekadasi, we fast from grains and beans twice a month, the waxing and the waning of the moon, and we eat lighter, and we read more, and we chant more. The Bhaktivedanta Institute for Higher Studies has just begun a six-month course on consciousness studies, ancient and modern perspectives. This course is guided by scholars with deep expertise in metaphysics, cosmology, and consciousness studies. You can sign up for all 6 months. They meet once a week on Saturday morning, or you can just drop in now and then. All the details are online in our newsletter. The Think Gita Circles for Beginners is starting again next week. This is a chance for you to explore the timeless teachings of the Bhagavad Gita in small groups. You can ask deeper questions, share ideas and thoughts weekly, and build relationships with like-minded people. So you sign up at thinkgita.org/circles, or there's a link in our newsletter that you can sign up there. If you do not get the temple newsletter every week in your email, you can catch it on our website, alachuatemple.com. You just click the community link, and the last entry is temple newsletter. It's posted every Tuesday. You can also sign up and get it by going to our website as well. The Institute for Vaishnava Studies is starting a language course in Bengali and Sanskrit. These are live online courses designed for devotees, for heritage speakers, and complete beginners. You can sign up through a link in the newsletter. If you would like to learn more about our school, the Bhaktivedanta Academy's uniquely holistic pre-K through high school educational program, you can meet the teachers, take a virtual tour of the classrooms. You can do that this Thursday, January 15th. You have to RSVP to www.bhaktischool.org/admissions. You have to go there to RSVP so that you'll get the information to take the tour. We will celebrate the appearance day of Lord Nityananda on Friday, January 30th. The full schedule is in the newsletter. You've got to get the newsletter to know what's going on here. There's too much going on for me to say it every week. So get the newsletter, and then everyone will be up to date. Lord Nityananda is the second body of the Lord, manifesting as Balaram to Sri Krishna, Lakshman to Sri Rama, and Nityananda Prabhu to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So get the mercy, attend the beautiful festival, chant, dance, take prasad, and make a donation to put on this great festival. You can do that through our newsletter or on our website also. This evening there are ox cart rides over at the field. Just next to the red barn, you'll see the oxes over there, so you and your children can get on and take a ride around the field. We've got our oxes trained now, and they're ready to go. And finally, we are very happy to have His Holiness Ramapad Swami here this evening to speak. If you don't already know Maharaj, he is a senior disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He spent many early years running the temple in New York City, and anybody who could run a temple in New York City can do anything. He developed Sankirtan there and book distribution, and for the last many years, he has spent his time traveling and sharing bhakti and Vaishnava scriptures with a wide audience, from Fortune 500 companies to university students, to ISKCON temples around the world. He's an initiating spiritual master in ISKCON, and lucky for us, he has many disciples here, so we are fortunate to have his visits a couple times a year now. So he will give class this evening. The title of his class is called Simplicity. And then he'll speak tomorrow morning on Srimad Bhagavatam at 8 a.m. and Tuesday again in the temple room at 8 a.m. And everything is live streamed at youtube.com/Alachua Temple. So somebody's going to do this.
Madhava Gunjabi Adi Jaya Radha Madhava Gunjabi Adi Gopi Janabalabha Gidivada Dhadi Gopi Janabalabha Gidivada Dhadi Jasodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jasodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chadhi Jamuna Tiravana Chati Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hati
Wow.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi Gopi Janabha Labha Giripada Dadi Dadi Jasodanandana Prachachanaranjana Jasodanandana Prachachanaranjana Jamuna Tirabhana Chadi Jamuna Tirabhana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi
Jaya Vishnu Paramahansa Hariva Jagacharya Astakarasa His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi Bol. You have a mridanga teacher? Compliments to your mridanga teacher. We don't want you to get puffed up. We'll just compliment your mridanga teacher. Keep practicing. Huh? Yeah. Compliments to him. Don't get puffed up. The topic for this evening is on the screen, and because I know what's on the screen, but I can't see it so easily if I keep, so I've got two slide changers. I got to figure out one, which one is which. In other words, I can see the screen in front of me that has the same thing that's on the screen up there, but let's see. There we go. So simplicity. Nice topic. It's one of the characteristics of the mode of goodness. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll find Krishna describes qualities of the mode of goodness. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, you'll also hear a lot about the importance and the challenge of bringing people from the lower modes of nature to the mode of goodness, and from the mode of goodness to devotional service. Lately, I've been listening to Srila Prabhupada speaking in Mayapur, 1975, Gaurpurnima Festival, and there's lots of prayers of Prahlad to Lord Nrsingadev, and prayer after prayer after prayer, and Prabhupada explaining for hours on end, the challenge, taking persons that are in the lower modes of nature and lifting them up to the mode of goodness, and from the mode of goodness become purified by chanting the holy name so that they become qualified to become brahmanas, and from the position of brahmanas to become qualified Vaishnavas. And then, you know, the favorite expression, go home back to Godhead. So that's our topic, is simplicity. And a dictionary definition, as you see on the screen, is simplicity. So look it up in the Webster's Dictionary and you'll find it means straightforward or without being crooked or without crookedness. So I learned something from studying Prabhupada's books and teachers of teaching Bhakti Shastri. A good definition is both inclusive and exclusive. For example, when Srila Prabhupada came, he didn't have a mridanga. He stayed in America for some time. Some devotees were planning to go to India, so Prabhupada told them, he wanted them to bring back a mridanga. So what's a mridanga? Well, it's a drum that has two ends, but it's not one of these, the bongo drum that everyone was familiar with at that time in the 60s, but it, like this. But it's not the one that's wooden, it's clay, and it's not the one that the heads are about the same size but a little bit different sound. But it's one that's very narrow and one that's a little wider. And so he described what it is and what it isn't. And he gave them a nice address, you know, a place in Calcutta. There's many shops with mridangas in Calcutta. And go to this one. They'll give you quality. They won't cheat you. Don't pay more than this amount, because Prabhupada was particular about Western devotees being cheated by merchants. And so they came back with a mridanga. And when they came back with the mridanga, what did he do? He paid his obeisances to the mridanga. He took off his upper garment, uttariya, and wrapped it around the mridanga. It was demonstrating how we respect teachers and mridangas. Yeah? It's performers too, but... So... Good definition is inclusive and exclusive. So simplicity must include what is not. And sure enough, our acharyas, let's see which one is which. Okay. There's a series of verses from Bhakti Sandarbha. by Jiva Goswami. If there are some newer people here, I'll give a little background. But Jiva Goswami is one of the six personalities who, under Lord Chaitanya's direction, were residing in Vrindavan, and Lord Chaitanya gave very explicit instruction to some of them and to others to serve those who he gave instructions to and then write books on the teachings of bhakti. So one of those six personalities was Jiva Goswami, and his scholarship was out of this world. It was otherworldly. It was without many... Bhaktisiddhanta said, never has there been an acharya like Jiva Goswami, never will there ever be an acharya like Jiva Goswami. He is superlative, more than superlative. He's out of this world. And one of the, rather than giving a class on Jiva Goswami, he wrote several commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. He loved Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of them was topic by topic, or at least in six different topics. And one of those six topics was Bhakti Sandarbha. And in Bhakti Sandarbha, there's a nice description of this principle of simplicity. And the connection of this principle of simplicity is what bhakti really is, it was discussed earlier, and then attaining bhakti requires certain elements, and then it's possible to slacken or subsist or diminish in bhakti. And he gives warnings what not to do so that bhakti doesn't diminish. That's our topic. And one of the key elements for bhakti to go up and stay up is simplicity, brahminical, mode of goodness, lifestyle. So one of the places he begins is right you see on the screen, even by bhakti abhas. Those of you that are newer, what does abhas means? Abhas means a reflection or a shadow. Like, here's an apple, here's a mirror, and in the mirror there's a reflection of the apple, but there's no substance in the reflection. It looks like, but there's no substance in the reflection. So abhas is a reflection of that which is substantial. Bhakti is substantial, but even bhakti abhas is so powerful that, according to Bhakti Sandarbha, it can destroy all sins and attain the feet of Vishnu even from the subhuman form of life. Let's see what he says. And he gives the example from Vishnu Dharma Purana of a mouse. That's subhuman. So there was a mouse drinking ghee from a lamp in the Lord's temple. And while he was drinking ghee from the Lord's lamp, his whiskers burned and his whole body burned up in a flame and he died. However, in his next life, that mouse became a queen. And she, as the queen, she wasn't highly educated, but she had devotion. And one of the things she did as a queen, she offered lamps in the temple to the deity. According to Vishnu Dharma, at the end of her life, she went back to Godhead. So if you want to go back home, back to Godhead, become a mouse, burn up in a flame when you're drinking ghee from the ghee lamp, become a queen, and you know, but that's not recommended. That's, you know, it's meant to explain how powerful is bhakti. Even the shadow or reflection of bhakti is so powerful. Even from subhuman, one can get such benefit. Then he goes on. Now, simplicity, arjavam is one word that's used in Bhagavad Gita, and it's used in Bhakti Sandarbha. Here's another word, rijubhir. And here's the translation. for those of you that are not Sanskrit scholars. What grateful soul is there? This is from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of Godhead? The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to him for protection, though the unrighteous man find it difficult to propitiate him. Now, Rijubhi is, it means in this word for word, is unpretentious, or the same, straightforward, simple. So that's what's recommended. You know, devotional service that's simple and straightforward, or a characteristic of one who's rendering devotional service is straightforward and unpretentious, not crooked. Now, there is such a thing as life that's crooked. And here's a statement, here we go, from, again, Bhaktisandarbha, same section, 153. From Skanda Purana, Parashramuni is speaking. And you see it in color coded up there, Kutilatmanam. Impure fools who are crooked do not develop bhakti, chanting, or remembering of Govinda. Now, many of you have some liking for Vrindavan. How many here have a liking for Vrindavan? I see a lot of hands. And if you haven't raised your hand, you haven't been to Vrindavan yet. But one of the ways to go to Vrindavan is to by sound vibration. And one of the sound vibrations that you'll hear is Radharani. You all know who is Radharani. Radharani had a so-called husband. His name is Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu had a mother and a sister. And the mother's name was Jatila and the sister's name was Kutila. Kutila means crooked. His sister was crooked. She has a good, appropriate name. Jatila is because his mother had this pile of hair on her head, a jat. Sometimes men do that and sometimes ladies do that, and she had that. So Jatila and Kutila. And Jatila and Kutila were always trying to catch Radharani with Krishna. And doing this and stuff, you know, it's a nice pastime. So Kutilam. Those persons who are crooked or Kutilatmana, they don't develop bhakti. So crooked is a direct opposite. It's a bhakti blocker. Here's another phrase from Vishnu Dharma. Truth is blocked by 100 obstacles. Austerity is blocked by 1,000 obstacles. Bhakti to Govinda is blocked by 10,000 obstacles if one is insincere. If you're insincere, you're not going to go anywhere with bhakti. And if you're sincere, arjavam or rujubir, then it's the quality of goodness. And quality of goodness will help you go forward. It's not bhakti itself, but without having that quality, it's very difficult. Very difficult indeed. And a nice example given by Jiva Goswami is... Now, some of you are Mahabharata fans. In case you're not a Mahabharata fan, here's a nice painting. Krishna is depicted on the left side over there. And on the throne on the right side, that's the blind king Dhritarashtra. So Krishna was coming as a peace messenger to Hastinapur, the capital. And the blind representative of the king was sitting there on his big throne, and the bad guy, in case you don't know Mahabharata, Duryodhana is a bad guy. There's always the good guys and the bad guys. It's a good story. Good guys and bad guys. So Duryodhana was bad. So Duryodhana was a cousin, like Arjuna's a cousin. Duryodhana was a cousin. They had, you know, they're part of a royal family. And he, Duryodhana, he was really inimical, like bad attitude towards the Pandavas, Arjuna and his brothers, because they were standing in the way of his becoming the king, and he wanted to become the king. It's a long story. Bharata's a really long story. So, but they were in the way. So Krishna's coming as a peace messenger. So he thought, I'll butter him up. And I butter him up, then, you know, he'll side with me maybe. So he made this fantastic reception. There were different visits. Fantastic reception and banners and, you know, yada, yada, yada. The whole big thing to arrange for honoring Krishna. And there was a message that I'm inviting you to have lunch at my home. Because he's a guest. And you, Grahastha, it honors a guest and you with this and that and, you know, a meal. So Krishna said, there are two reasons why one might eat. If you're hungry, you can eat. I'm not hungry. Even if you're not hungry, you can eat if there's love. But there's no love. You have such an attitude towards the Pandavas, who are very dear to me. There's no love for me if there's no love for the Pandavas. So, thanks, but no thanks. I'll go where there's love. You all know where he went. And, you know, the whole thing, a whole series of other things happened after that. But those who are crooked, Duryodhana was crooked indeed, then it's one of the reasons that for Krishna declining his invitation. So, according to Bhakti Sandarbha, he makes reference to his superior, to Rupa Goswami, and in Rupa Goswami's writings, Rupa Goswami describes bhakti has different stages. The goal, prema bhakti. And the beginning is faith. So adau shraddha. And he makes specific reference to Bhakti Dasarmita Sindhu Rupa Goswami's writings describing the nine stages of bhakti that culminate in prema. Now, we heard how bhakti can begin even from a subhuman form and achieve perfection by cultivation of bhakti from that subhuman form. And then there's falling from bhakti. You know, the positive and the negative, or the describing what a thing is and what a thing isn't. And he describes that something that can destroy bhakti, sin doesn't have the power to destroy bhakti. Bhakti has the power to destroy sin, or the reactions of sin. The tendency to sin is another story, but the reaction to sin, bhakti has the power. Even abhas bhakti, even the shadow bhakti. But there's something that causes bhakti to diminish and terminate. And he starts with this first one, crookedness. You see, they make a list of five things. Five stages of falling from bhakti. And a key is all of them have something in common, and that's pride. And from pride, then there's layers of pride and layers of pride and crookedness, just like Duryodhana. He was very proud. He was clever and he was this and he was that and he was, you know, super ambitious, and false ego and pride. They go well together, false ego and pride. So be careful of pride and be, you know, what do you do about false ego? That's a good question. That's a good question. And the answer is bhakti. Bhakti has the power to dissolve the most subtle of all material contaminations is false ego. And then upon false ego comes pride. you know, like hand and glove. And then second in this, a byproduct, practically speaking, of crookedness is lack of faith in Scripture. We're going to spend a little bit of time on these, but you already see the other ones that are on the screen. Here's number three, absorption in things that detract one from firm faith in Bhagavan. That's a nice Sanskrit, long Sanskrit term. Antar, abhinivesha. Abhinivesh means absorption in. And antar means away from or aside from or way, you know, other than. Antar, abhinivesh. Bhagavan nishtha, faith in Bhagavan, and absorption in things that take one away from faith in Bhagavan. We'll get to this. We're going to start with these first items. I'm getting confused with which hand is using which thing. Krishna, Krishna. I don't know what to do. What to do? Yeah, okay. But I gotta see my screen too. Okay. You wanna take one of these? Which one do you want? The one up there? Let's see if the one up there is this one. Yeah, that's this. Okay. So the one slackening of bhakti, we'll go through these. One, because there's five, then we're done. Because the topic is simplicity, there are things that make simplicity difficult. Being crooked, it's the opposite. It's being straightforward and being crooked. They're opposites. And when there's crookedness, then there's scripture that can guide me to, you know, to where I want to go, to spiritual destination. But I don't have faith in it. We'll come to that. Let's go through the list. At the bottom, you see pride in executing acts of bhakti. That's a very nice conclusion, but we'll get there. Next. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, pictured in the upper right, and he's commenting. It's commentary from a verse from Canto 2, Chapter 3, Bhagavatam. This is pure devotional service chapter, Canto 2, Chapter 3. The whole bhakti process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, etc. Yay! You don't have to become a Buddhist. You can just chant Hare Krishna without offense. And the becoming desireless means no material desire. That's a whole topic. Next. Even if the neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, because they commit offenses to the holy name, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Next. They can, however, get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return home back to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. So this is speaking to the topic of having lack of faith in the scriptures and access to what the scriptures say is through a teacher. Now, next. So one of those offenses to be avoided, there's 10 offenses, but we're going to be focusing, Jiva Goswami focuses on this one, where you consider the glories of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra to be exaggeration, artavad, artha, vada, the doctrine of artha, the doctrine of the goal or purpose, where it's taken as an exaggeration. Here's a verse where the same topic is discussed. If a person, hearing the various results of chanting my name, has no faith and rather thinks the results are exaggeration, I throw him in the greatest suffering where his limbs are afflicted with various pains in frightening samsara. Now, this is the personality of Godhead speaking to a sage named Bodayana Muni. Now, Krishna's not a cruel person, but there's a consequence for faithlessness. The faithlessness consequence is living in the material world. Do you know anybody that's in the material world that is struggling? Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Prescribe, you know, so it's just the nature of the place. We wanted sukha and we got dukkha. We wanted happiness and we got distress. Not only distress, but sometimes upside down and swirling around and sometimes up for air and then back down again. It's not faulting the place, it's just the nature of the place. By design, it's like that. A prison house, by design, is not comfortable. This is that kind of a place, Durga's place. Durga means prison. So, next. Another reference. This, even though the glories of Nama are factual, due to this aparad of considering these glories to be artavad, we are unable to see the results of performing our performing bhajan. Example, next, King Nriga. Some of you like Krishna book. This is a little bit lighter, but it's the same message. King Nriga is described in Canto 10, next, where he was a devotee. It's discussed in Jiva Goswami Sundarvas. This story, this is in the 10th Canto Bhagavatam. He was a nice king. He was more than a nice king. He was a devotee king. And in addition to a devotee king, he liked the benefits that come from karmakanda, that is specifically by giving charity. He was very charitable, very charitable. And one fine day, in giving cows to brahmanas, one of the cows that he gave to one of the brahmanas wandered back into the herd, and he gave that same cow unknowingly to another brahmana. And brahmana number one said, "Wait a minute, that's my cow." And the king said, "Uh-oh, the cow must have wandered back into the herd. I tell you what, I'll give you another cow." "No, I'll give you as many cows as you want to replace that one cow." "No, I want that cow." And there was some cursing and counter-cursing, and the brahmana cursed the king, "You become a lizard." King Nriga, poof, he lost his kingdom. He didn't lose his bhakti, because he had some bhakti, but he was placing more value in charity than bhakti. He wasn't a pure devotee. He was, you know, nice king, nice fellow. So he became a lizard. And one fine day, Krishna with the cowherd boys were going through a forest, and they saw a blind well, meaning a well without water in it, and the cowherd boys saw this lizard, and they were trying to figure out how to get the lizard out. They couldn't get the lizard out, so they called Krishna over. Krishna knew how. He just extended his arm and touched the lizard. Next. And when he touched the lizard, guess what? The lizard became the king again. And King Nriga, who was previously a devotee with mixed interest, valuing the benefit that would come to him through charity, and look what he got. He got a lizard body. But he then became the king, and he offered beautiful prayers, and Krishna appreciated his beautiful prayers, and he was relieved of that reaction of taking the property of a Brahmin and giving it to someone else. Consequence. So all that is narrated by Jiva Goswami to explain, even if you're engaged in bhakti, you may have some value where you consider this other thing more valuable than bhakti. You could be a nice devotee and value something more than bhakti. And that which is of the benefit that comes from bhakti is exaggeration. It's nice, but it's not everything that they say about bhakti. So, lack of faith in scripture. So, next, you see the first two? Crookedness and lack of faith in scripture. And now we're ready for number three. This is the example Jiva Goswami gives is Bharat Maharaj, who became absorbed in a deer. And because of absorption in a deer, he became so absorbed in the deer, oh my dear, he gave up his bhakti. And commentary says, it's important, normally, because he had attained such a high stage of bhakti, normally one doesn't fall from that, but he, in a previous life, it doesn't say, acharyas don't say what was his offense in a previous life, but some offense, but due to some prior offense, he fell. And by that he became more absorbed, abhinivesh, more absorbed in things that detracted him from bhakti so much so that he stopped his bhakti practice and just became, took care of the deer. And one fine day, the deer wandered off and he was looking for the deer. He fell off a cliff and fell in the jagged rocks at the bottom. And guess what? He became a deer. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. He became a deer. Oh, dear. Anyway, it's a nice narration found in 5th Canto Bhagavatam. Or slackening of bhakti. Now, these are sequential. And Jiva Goswami gives this example of Narada Muni. By the grace of the personality of Godhead, he was performing bhakti very nicely, and the Supreme Lord came before him and showed his form and said, Hari Bol, this is my form. By your very sincere, dedicated practice, even before you became mature, I'm showing myself to you, but you're not going to see me again for the rest of your life. But continue. I wanted to encourage you. Please continue. And then at least the Jiva Goswami's rendering is, except for those who become lax in their practice. So those who are slackened in their practice, this is a phrase that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses. He uses in sharanagati or submission, slackening. There can be start very enthusiastic. And then it happens, right? Sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes distracted, absorbed in something, maybe a problem, maybe an opportunity, maybes. And then, whoa, I got distracted. And then again, enthusiastic. It happens. So that slackening in bhakti is a cause for falling from bhakti. And then finally, we're almost ready to end. Look at this. This is a nice class. Pride. So sometimes, more than sometimes, sometimes devotees become proud of something. You know, you work very hard to achieve something, 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 and there's a natural tendency to become proud of that something. And it can work the other way. Supposing somebody doesn't get recognized, they feel something's wrong. No one's paying attention. I'm being neglected. You know people like that. And so it's just a flip side of wanting pride, wanting recognition, is not getting it. And what are the feelings that go with not getting it? So we have a very nice teaching. One of those very nice teachers is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is another one of, for those of you that are newer, he's another one of those six. There's six. Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he was a great personality. He didn't write like Jiva Goswami wrote with super, super, super scholarship. He just wrote from the heart. And one of the writings of Raghunath Das Goswami is Manashiksha. Manashiksha. Shiksha means instructions and mana means mind. So he's instructing his mind, my dear mind. In a whole book on, essentially, it's Raga Bhakti. It's bhakti, but it's a very elevated stage of bhakti. It's a very nice book. Even for persons who aren't practicing Raga Bhakti, to read the elevated thoughts and mindset and instructions, how to achieve that higher stage, it's very valuable. So we're going to cover the first verse. I think you'll like it, and then we're going to end. So get ready for an abrupt ending. Sada dum bum hitva. Give up pride. Dum bum. Pride. Give up pride in all circumstances. Giving up all pride. So that's a key instruction. It starts on that particular note. Here's the verse. And if the
Guru Goste Gosta Lai Susujane Busuragane. Svamantre Shinamni Vrajana.
Let's go back and do it again.
Navayuva Dvandva Sharane. Guru Goste Gosta Lai Susujane Busuragane. Svamantre Shinamni Vrajana Vayuva Dvandva Sharane. Sada Dambam Hitva Kururatima Purvam Atitaram. Aye Svantar Bratash Chatubirabhiya Chedritapada.
It starts with the Sada Dambam, and here's the translation.
O dear brother, O mind, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Sri Guru, to Sri Vrindavan, the abode of cows, to the devotee residence of Vrindavan, to all the devotees on this planet, to the confidential mantra given by Sri Guru, to the holy names of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh, youthful couple of Vraja, holding your feet, I beseech you with sweet words.
Nice. Very instructive to anyone at whatever stage or level of Krishna Bhakti is a good starting point. By all means, give up pride. Sada dambam hitva. And then following that starting point of giving up pride, that is, teaching is this. It's replete in the Bhagavatam. There's who I think I am, and the material conception of who I am is the covering, the body or the mind, commonly the body. I am fill in the blank. I'm American. I'm man. I'm da 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 da. That's who I am. And then what's mine is that which comes from me. Work. And the fruits of work, that's mine. And then with the fruits of work, I get money. And with money, I get more mine. I get a house, I get a car, I get a this, and that, and that, and that. And that's mine. I and mine. Pretty simple. That's material consciousness. I and mine. And becoming freed from that is the spiritual conception. But what holds us, I'll just end with this, what holds us tightly to the material world, of course, is false ego, but layering right on top of false ego is pride. I and mine. I'm proud of that which is mine. I'm proud of me and proud of what is mine. And it's got a hold on us. We got a hold on it, or it's got a hold on us, and it's stuck. We're stuck. Be a nice person. That's nice. Be a nice person. Be stuck. Don't be a bad person. Be a good person. Be simple. Don't be complicated. Don't be crooked. But then keep going. Because bhakti can dissolve the pride and the false ego. Shoo-wee, what a relief. So, here's the list again. Crookedness, lack of faith in scripture, Bhagavan Nishta Chavakasta, so absorption in things that detract one from firm faith in Bhagavan, slackening in bhakti, pride in executing acts of bhakti. Execute acts of bhakti, but credit goes to where the ability to do that bhakti came from, and you know, the paraphernalia to, you know, one of the things I appreciate, there's many things to appreciate about Alachua. One of the things is the enthusiasm for Rath Yatras. Did you know, those of you that are Rath Yatra enthusiasts, did you know that the Gajapati, or the king of Puri, sent out a proclamation saying, with his hands on his hips, ISKCON is violating the laws of Lord Jagannath. Because you have Snan Yatra and then Rath Yatra on a day other than according to the Titi in the scriptures. And he was shouting it to the rooftops. Did you know that? Some of you know that. So, ISKCON Bureau, which means ISKCON in India, they said, yes, sir, we'll have it only on that day. But we can't say about the rest of the world. So then he, the Gajapati, sent a letter to the GBC, the governing body commission, and wanted for their annual general meeting to decide, stop. No, my God. I mean, can you think of a few obstacles? Like city councils getting a permit exactly on that day? Only all around the world? Is that going to happen? Sorry, Charlie. So they, you know, the Gajapati got back a nice letter, two-page letter, very, you know, carefully worded two-page letter, saying, sorry, Charlie, basically. Thanks, but no thanks. Well, you know, it's a nice idea, but there's a few obstacles. And, you know, we respect our founder, Acharya. And he didn't give us that, so we follow our founder, Acharya. You know, they sent some carefully worded. So you enthusiasts in here in Florida for Rath Yatra, where does the credit go? Besides, you get your instruments, yes. So you get credit for being an instrument, just like this little boy and his thing playing Radhanga. He was good. And his teacher's a good teacher. He's got a good Radhanga. But the credit goes to and where the teacher learned. That taught him how to play Mridanga nicely, and you know, trace it back, and where does everything come from? Let's give credit where credit is due. That's what leadership is. You give credit where credit is due. And we want that pure devotion. We want to become freed from pride and taking ownership of the credit for something. The credit goes where credit is due. There he is, sitting on the Vyasasan. But he, you know, it didn't stick to him. It went to his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya and, you know, the plan of the Supreme Lord. And I'm the postal peon. Postal peon. Come on. He wrote a few letters, right? So, but that's pure bhakti. So to enter into this simplicity, that's back to the starting slide. Oh, we can't do it that way, can we? I'll go on my screen. Simplicity, Arjava. Go back to the starting slide. This not slide number one. Can you do it all at once? You have to go in steps. Okay, we'll get there. So simplicity, straightforward, being without crookedness. And then it's subsets of things that that take us away from what real devotion is. We want real devotion. We want to want real devotion. And we want to be with those that are engaged in real devotion. So here we are in Alachua. And the devotees have come from some faraway places. I'm one who came from a faraway place. And others from other places. But all over ISKCON, we're focused on this. Our founder Acharya is having us focused on the starting point. We're in the darkness of ignorance, and you know some amount of passion combined with that nice big dose of ignorance. And Prabhupada came along and picked us up from that place, bringing us to a place of goodness, and from that place of goodness towards pure bhakti, and that's the Hare Krishna movement. So that this simplicity is an important step in the direction, being very straightforward without crookedness. Don't be Duryodhana-like. Say one thing and something else is in the heart. That's not good. So I don't know, because of time, look at it, 6 o'clock. I better stop talking. Let's see if there's some discussion. How does it work here? Do you have questions and answers? Okay.
Anybody has question, comments?
Over here, up front.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
You're one of the Rath Yatra fans. Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
I think so too. Go ahead.
My question was that, like, I see a lot of nice people, like, who are actually, like, genuine, and, like, they seem to be simple, and are very sweet by nature, but they don't, like, chant, or, like, they don't, like, maybe they don't believe in Govinda.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some people like that. I know some of you in the other modes, too. So, what's your point?
So, like, are those people also crooked?
That's a good question. They're not in the platform of bhakti, and therefore they may be just innocent, but not crooked. Crookedness means I know, but I'm saying otherwise. Like Duryodhana, that's crooked. And people aren't these people you described and that I know, they're not crooked. They just don't know. They haven't had somebody tap them on the shoulder and say what needs to be said. And then, you know, some dialogue and a relationship that goes with the dialogue and some prasadam and some friendship and, you know, sharing their heart and, you know, all the things that are necessary to bring one to touch bhakti and have bhakti touch them. That little exercise hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
So it's not crooked exactly.
Trying to formulate this into a question. Sometimes we get the idea when we remove all the anarthas, if that was possible, to just remove them all, what would be left if we weren't given bhakti? Is that possible?
It's not possible. It's artificial. There's attempts. Buddhism is an attempt. But it's not who we are. And therefore, you wait a while, and it gets filled up again with stuff, no desires and stuff that goes along with desires. Yeah. I see someone's hand up way over in the corner.
Oh.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hey. Hi, Bo.
Hare Bo. I wonder if you knew any more of the development about the issue in Puri with the Rathiyatras.
I just sent a letter this morning to somebody that was very kind to send me the 2-page letter from the GBC from July 2025, and I sent them a letter saying, what was the reply?
Oh, I'm an offender. I have a traveling Rathiyatra cart.
Yeah, you do.
I do 11 Rathiyatras a year, so
yeah.
The Puri people...
Keep going. Keep going.
Really mad at me.
No, keep going.
Okay.
Go, go, go.
Hare Krishna.
Ratnabhushana Kidai. You know, we have our founder Acharya and we follow him. And we don't have to worry about protection because he'll provide us everything we need. And whatever that is, that's what it is. So keep going. How many traveling Rathiyatra carts do you have now? You used to have 3.
Well, I have 1 that travels.
Okay, all over the country.
Well, the devotee friend and I, we built 11.
Yeah, I know you built up several of them.
Europe, North Carolina, Seattle, and Phoenix, and all over.
Okay. He's a hero. Anybody else? There was a hand over there on the lady's side. Yes, way in the corner. And then this probably be our last question because of time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much. The slackening of bhakti, as you pointed out, sometimes we go up, sometimes we're down.
Yes.
How does one avoid becoming discouraged at seeing one's own sometimes slackening? What's the cure?
Yeah. Got it. Well, let me ask you. Oh, another question. Okay, not the last question. Okay. What's the purpose of bhakti? This is a why question. And if you have an answer to the why question, then you've got an answer to your question. If you don't have an answer to the why question, then it's seasick. And, you know, sometimes discouraged, and sometimes encouraged, and sometimes. But if you have an answer to the why question, that is, why bhakti? Why devotional? Why chant? Why bhakti? Why be engaged in devotional service to Krishna? And if that answer is clear, and it becomes clear by asking the question a lot, like, since, you know, in the core of your heart, why? Not just a check the box kind of answer, but your answer. And you have your answer, and that you can keep going even when it doesn't go well. So it's the offering unto Krishna that's the essence. It's not the outcome, is the essence. Krishna will respect your offering, however meager and, you know, incomplete and, you know, not so good, and, you know, but you show your capacity, you make a sincere endeavor to satisfy Krishna, because that's it. To satisfy Krishna is the goal. And then the outcome is whatever the outcome is. Yes. There's someone else has the microphone. That's it. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Gaur Premanandi.